Inside Westminster, Chapter 253, Rolling Stone. "How's it going?" Prince Marcus, holed up behind the high security fences of his rather lovely Georgian home in the grounds of Windsor Castle, wearily asked his ex-wife, Fitzy. "Oh, all's well, my gorgeous man," purred Fitzy, blissfully unaware that hours later they'd all be on the floor in the depths of despair. "Skiing good?" quizzed the prince. "Silly question, dearest heart," Fitzy replied. "It's always good, and we're making the most of this, our very last stay in our home from home." "I know," Prince Marcus said. "It's absolutely horrid we've had to sell." "Needs must, darling heart," retorted his ever-loyal ex, "and we've got to show all those silly people in America that you are, and always have been, innocent." Not more than a few hours later, the world of the ninth in line to the throne, his ex and their offspring, was to be turned upside down with a simple phone call from the heir apparent. "Ma wants a serious word about the fallout from all of this," the stern voice of Marcus's eldest sibling echoed down the phone. "So she's cleared her desk for later this morning. I presume you haven't got anything pressing in your diary." This latest jibe hurt, as Marcus's diary had been wiped clean for the past many months, apart from his daily meetings, often over Zoom, with his team of lawyers and image fixers. No problem," hesitated the prince, actually not quite believing that this might actually be it. It being his final and total fall from grace, involving his handing back of all of his military and charity patronages, which had constituted the very stuff of his life, giving it both meaning and purpose, and which had been gifted to him by his mother. As if that wasn't catastrophic enough, he'd be forced to relinquish his HRH style too. Where was his mother's influence in all this? Well, as this had been foisted upon her, reluctantly, and as the very worst of all scenarios, her Madge had chosen to remain seated on the sofa to the side of the main event. "There'll be more to come," warned Prince Edmund, "only there's a question of the house." "What, my home?" quivered Marcus. "Well, technically it's not yours," Prince Hubert said tersely. "But since you will always be a member of this family, some sort of accommodation will be found," ended Prince Edmund. Prince Marcus was reeling. He thought this interview without coffee would be bad, but never in his wildest dreams had he imagined that he'd be jettisoned with such ease after one brief meeting. Dumped, abandoned, disowned. Little did he know that the spur to his ousting had come from within the military family itself. From 150 veterans, to be precise, who'd written to their Majesty requesting such a move, as how could they stand and drink the loyal toast, which is traditional at the end of any regal and significant celebration, to the health of such a one as Prince Marcus, the representative of the Queen. And yet more humiliation was to come, with councillors from York requesting the disassociation of their fair city from the prince who bore its name. Stripped, bare, naked, without even a style to cover his exposure. And the prospect of intimate details of his personal life being brought before a court and open to public scrutiny and laughter just didn't bear thought. It was as though the ball of this whole scandal had started to roll uncontrollably downhill, gathering speed and collecting filth and grime on its inevitable and speedy descent. The following day, whilst on a walk in a beautiful wood in Scotland, Prince Edmund was asked directly about the plight of his brother. He ignored the question and the interrogator, as though that person, his brother, didn't exist. The process of airbrushing this man from the royals' lives had taken place swiftly, brutally, and without compunction. And at long last, many in this great nation would say. It would be final, and he knew the list of what he'd be forfeiting would be long, including vacating his extravagant home, paying proper instalments on the Bentley and Range Rovers he'd been chauffeured in, relinquishing his security and being forced to live a life of penury and ignominy. But what about his beloved family? He'd already seen an article in his least favourite newspaper demanding his two daughters relinquish their HRHs. What dastardly and cowardly spite, Marcus later complained to Fitzy. And what about you? Where are you to live? Don't worry about me, darling heart, Fitzy said. I'm a survivor, and that'll see me through. As she'd been living rent-free ever since her marriage to Andrew decades before, she really hadn't a clue as to how she would get by. Josephine might let me use the gatehouse of her Italian mansion, she'd thought, but with no discernible income and no savings, her future did look bleak. Private citizen Andrew Windsor had been born, and his arrival, like all births, had been both visceral and painful.